Welcome back to Fan One Land, and it's time to fall down the rabbit hole with us again. I'm TJ, and today we have with us a musical guest. Today's guest was introduced to Australians as part of duo Good Question in 2012, then as a solo artist in 2013 on X Factor Australia. That artist is Joey Gia. Formerly known by Joel, Joey has grown and matured in the 5 years since going solo with a debut album Enough in August 2017, which went to number one on the Australian iTunes R&B charts and number 16 in the USA. With over 50 million plays collectively across online streaming and 25 million views on YouTube, Joey is very much growing in popularity. With a catalogue comprising of serious topics in her music such as So Don't to raise awareness of suicide, to the poppy vibe of Fearless, Joey is a multi-talented singer-songwriter taking LA by storm. Welcome Joey, and thank you for giving up your time to chat with us today.
That was a lot. Thank you for having me.
A lot, but it's all true. Wow.
Oh my gosh, I've never heard that before. She sounds all right. How are you?
Good, thank you. What has been the reaction from fans and friends since X Factor and your move to LA?
My friends and family are quite intimate. It's like a really tight-knit group. So they've been just really supportive. It's kind of random having someone in your family just become a singer. I was never planning that. So it was quite random, that little bit of a surprise element. But everyone's beyond used to it now. The fact that I'm just creative and running around New York and LA and running around the world singing and writing songs. But, I have a really small, intimate group, and they still treat me like I'm having a 9-to-5 in Australia, you know, tell me when I'm wrong and all that good stuff.
Would you change anything from your time on X Factor?
I mean, everyone always would approach something differently if they got a second chance. That's why I always try to advise everyone to approach an opportunity like it is your second chance. But man, going back again, if I hadn't had the experience, I would have been just as nervous and just as naive. So it would have ended up the same way. But you know, going on reality TV show, everything is quite set. You don't have much freedom. It just comes with it. You know, you just have to figure out if it's worthwhile when you weigh up the pros and cons, because it is a great opportunity for exposure. But I guess I would have been less of a little shit. But I was just annoyed because they wanted me to wear things that weren't me and sing things that wouldn't have been my choice of songs. But all aside, it was cool. I had a great time, made some good friends, and it gave me an opportunity to end up here in LA. So
I think that's a similar thing with reality shows, like with The Four, because I noticed Christina Castle, also from X Factor, went on The Four, and from what I heard, it's like they would not let her be herself. And it seems to be a bit of a recurring theme.
It is, yeah. But you know what? We can all get mad and we can talk shit about it. But the reality is it's their show, yeah. Their template, their funding, and you either go on it or you don't. I know it's irritating and we can all like cry about it, but you know, it just comes with it. How else are you going to get in front of a million people in one night?
Yeah,
you get me?
Yeah, that's true too.
So it just comes with it. You know, it just depends on your perspective.
Yeah. What inspired you to create your own label, Gronkyville? I think I pronounced that correctly.
Yeah, Gronk. You know the word Gronk means like you idiot. I made a record label called Gronkyville purely because it's like I just don't like taking this stuff too seriously, you know. I'm here. I bumped into like Black China at the gym today. You know what I mean? Like this is just so much that I was at Chris Brown's Halloween party last night. Like it's just there's so much in LA and in this entertainment industry that you can get lost in. So when it came to the name of my label, I was like, let's just keep it fun. You know, like chill out. You're human, you know. And I just created my own label because I didn't want to repeat the same experience as X Factor, which was not being able to be myself and write what I want to write, sing how I want to sing and say what I want to say. So I just skipped giving someone else the power, started from the bottom up, made my own label, record label.
That's all right, dear. Are there other X Factor artists you'd like to work with, such as Christina Castle or Ivy Adaro, both who are writing and singing at the moment? Because I noticed you work with fellow X Factor artist William Singe as well.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I haven't seen any of the shows. I don't even know who they are, but I'm such a bad person.
Like Ivy's worked with Jess Mowboy recently, I noticed. I think she wrote Fallen with Jess.
Yeah, I know Jess. I guess I just work with who I like, you know. I don't really care what you've been on or what your numbers you've gotten because, it just gets back to the fact that, like, I just want to have fun and make good music. So if I had met them and we have the, you know, great chemistry, great energy, I'll work with them. But it's not really a thing of like, oh, they've been on TV, I want to work. You know, once you've been thrown in the deep end over here, you kind of like, you get over that. You're like, I just want to have a good time. with good people, you know?
And I'm pretty sure Christine is in LA as well, so.
Well, if I bump into her, bring it on. Let's sing a song.
That'd be quite an interesting collaboration, I think. I'd like to go through some of your tracks and what inspired them. First up, we wanted to touch on Fearless.
Yep.
So what
we want to know how
what inspired the inspired, writing process for that and the lyrics?
To be completely honest with you, sorry if I'm talking over you. It's like there's a delay because I'm far away from you. I'm one of my producers, Sounds, a really well-known Grammy-nominated producer. Basically, I was in a session with him, and I met King Lowe's. And he's, in my opinion, the best freestyler rapper in the world. I was just dumbfounded. When I saw him, I was like, mate, we need to work. So we just set up a session. We had no idea what we were going to write about. There was nothing planned. And we just went through a couple of track ideas that Sounds had started, found one that was fun, and him and I just improvised. I just got in the mic and made it up. There was no, like, thought-out story, situation, nothing. I just got on the mic, made it up, changed some words around, and he did the same. It was so organic.
It feels like a very different – compared to your early music, it's very – it feels more modern you, I guess, compared to earlier soft Joey.
Yeah, well, it was more like I tend to write emotional stuff. That's just me because – my music is more so like my diary. And when I'm happy, I'm not sitting at the computer writing a song. When I'm happy, I'm out there laughing and interacting with people. So music tends to be more of the things I need to express, right? So when it came to this session, I was like, dude, we're writing a happy song. Like, I've got so much music that's about when you're in your feelings and going through shit. But I was like, this song, I just wanted to be like, let's just feel good. And him and I were both really positive spiritual people, so I was like, let's just tap into that. That was literally the only discussion we had before we just got on the mic and just freestyled, and it just happened. Like, he's a vegan, he's like super super like little halo angel, so he just was organic and came out that way.
Track two, and this one's personally helped me through a lot of times as well, is So Don't, which you wrote for Suicide Awareness. And I'm going to be probably not the only one that it's helped through a really tough time. Inspired that one?
Yeah. To be completely honest with you, my best friend when I was younger had a really tough time. Like, I had a very confronting couple of experiences with someone being suicidal. And I realized how common of a theme that was. And everyone feels so alone when realistically they're so together, because it's actually something that unites us all, you know, feeling those moments of just alienation and just feeling hopeless. And I thought, how many songs have I written about relationships and whatnot when there's such important situations to tap into? So I wanted to just put words to a song, and I thought it would just be good for him. And little did I know, it has helped literally like tens of thousands of people. I've had emails, letters, people have come up to me, grown men, that you would never think have a bad day in their life, really put together a wealthy man being like, thank you. Like, literally, that song came to me at the right moment. I was about to take my life. Like, that song, I'm just so happy that I made that song. I don't even feel like it was me. I feel like I just channeled it somehow, because it just means more than one of my other songs that makes it on the charts. Like, yeah, cool. You know, there's a song on someone's iPad. Your song's being played on radio. That's not really that fulfilling, but when there's a song that really makes a difference in someone's life, that's why I'm doing this. So I'm really happy to hear that it helped you, and whoever it reaches, that's why it's there.
Yeah. On to track three, Wish I Never.
Yeah. You want to know what inspired that one? Oh, I was like, is there a question coming? Wish I Never, I wrote when I was like 16. Just a breakup song, you know, like, I wish I was never with you. And then the chorus is like, okay, I'm lying. Like, like, I miss you. It's just a really honest Joe type of approach to being hurt and missing someone. So that one's pretty simple. It's just, I wrote that in like 10 minutes. That one is my biggest, most popular song. It's literally like collectively gotten over 50 million plays, because on Facebook it went viral and like world star. So a lot of the views aren't on my account, but that song went massive, and I genuinely was just having a little bitch about my breakup, and it just went, apparently a few people can relate, so Wish I Never.
I was going to say, another one of your earlier one is I'm Done. Was that based around a similar sort of topic?
So many of them are, literally. Like, I have an whole album about a breakup. But it was a different guy. It's so embarrassing. My stuff's so emotional. But it just is what it is. I feel like people go through things and don't know how to talk about it or don't know how to deal with it. So I like to put words to feelings because that's the first step in working through your pain, and then you can let it go. And a lot of dudes, even, like, they don't know how to talk about it or understand it or feel it, so you just suppress it and then you're all fucked up. So I like to write about it, get it off your chest, and then you're good.
I think I'm one of those weird exceptions that, like, can relate to, like, all the Taylor Swift songs, and, like, I'm like, that's so me, and then there, all these other guys are like, what? And it's...
Yeah,
it's,
because you're not afraid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm probably one of the weirdly most open guys, although it shouldn't be weirdly because... There's this stigma, particularly this stigma around the guys that we can't be soft and we all have to be tough and can't be vulnerable. And yet women are allowed to be vulnerable. Yeah. Like, why can't a bloke be vulnerable as well? Like, it's totally fine if you are. It's,
yeah.
Like, I think that's something that hopefully, I don't know this what you said about writing something that can help someone. And that's something that I love about Logic. Like, I'm not the biggest hip-hop fan, but, like, Logic writes about stuff that needs to be talked about, that needs to be...
Yeah.
That needs to be discussed, like racism and bullying and suicide. And it's stuff that needs to... Like, a lot of singers will shy away from, which, thankfully, you don't, and Logic doesn't. But there's a lot... I think a lot more... There's starting to be a few bit more talking about it, hopefully.
Yeah, and it's up to people in the limelight to set the theme that that is okay and that's regular. It's they're the ones that are in charge of what's normal or what's acceptable. So I think it's really good that people are doing that, artists are doing that, because, man, it's attractive when a man can be like that, because it means you're actually powerful. Like, there's a power in being vulnerable. Men think that it's powerful and attractive to not be vulnerable, but that's like... That's not powerful. You're weak.
Or not even seeing the time they come across like dicks.
Yeah. And it's just like, oh, come on. Life's short. We're all going to be dead one day. At least feel something. You know, speak about it. Let it out. Let's figure it out.
I think there's more artists. Like, I didn't know until I actually did some digging. Billie Eilish and Khalid. Both of them work together with each other because they both realize they're both struggling with mental health. They're both dealing with issues. And I think it's nice that suddenly... Artists are starting to talk about that sort of thing because it's generally not been, you've got that platform. Like, that's what I've said to a few people. Like, I don't do this for, like, to get famous. If I do, that's just a bonus, and I'm going to use that platform to help people because you, like, if,
yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do at the end of your life and say, hey, I did some songs. Did it help anyone? Not really. Like, what legacy have you got to leave behind?
Exactly.
Like, It's great to have, like, a one-hit wonder or whatever, but there's some of us that you go, hey, I want to leave something behind, and go, hey, I was able to help that one person. Even if I help one person, I still help someone, and, you know, that's something I'm really proud of.
That's exactly right.
I think that's something that it's nice to see a lot.
Good on you, mate.
It's nice to see a lot more artists embracing the talking about mental health and
not
being so stigma. Exactly. Because, funnily enough, I had a survey I did recently where they asked what do you feel about the stigma of mental health in Australia? And I'm like, honestly, there's not a lot of powerful people talking about it. Like, you name one politician that talks about it. There isn't. There isn't really one that openly discusses it. And it's nice to see artists taking the step and doing that and talking about that, because it's not something
that
we're hearing a lot of, except for, like, Lovely with Billy and Khalid there when they did that. And you'll be so don't. It's direct, it's in your face.
Yeah.
And when you pay attention to the lyrics, it's like, okay, shit, this is, you know, this is real. People deal with this. Because I think everyone just assumes it's not something that a lot of people are aware of or they talk about. And then suddenly you've got these popular singers talking about it, and it's more widespread than I realise. Like, there's like 1 in 3 Australians deal with it. And...
Yeah, that's
and
scary.
Like, it's so... Like, yeah. You know, you're in a studio full of people. Chances are there's at least 2 or 3 people in that group that's probably dealing with something. And you'll never see it because, as you said, it's suppressed. And that's why even if you're one song that you do, you can change how someone's feeling, or go, hey, I'm not alone, you know, someone else has felt this way. Like I said, so don'ts help me through a lot. There's probably helped a lot of other people through that as well. And it's nice to have that sort of music out there where we can reflect on that and go, okay, you know, someone else is dealing with this issue. Maybe I need to be a bit more alert about this, a bit more open to how someone's feeling, rather than just go, oh, are you okay? And they say, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Because none of it's, like, I can't remember where I heard it, but someone said recently, when someone says they're fine, chances are they're probably not. They just say that because that's what we've 100%. Been taught by society to say is, yeah, I'm fine, and just suppress
how
it.
How are you? Good. How are you? Good. Exactly.
And like the are you okay days are okay, but like someone else pointed out, like, that's one day. What's one day going to do for everyone else that struggles on all those other days? Like, be there for this support there. Be there for your friends and, like, help them rather than just ask them one day a year. It's like doing Valentine's one day a year. Like, if you care about the person, you can do it whenever, you know, you want to be there for them and you feel like you love them. You're not going to do it that one day when you're told
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
That's something that needs to happen every
exactly.
day. So I think it's needs to be a bit more of that, I think, in society in general, as well as with music. But onto
I agree with you on that.
Onto a slightly lighter one, and I kind of like the explicit version of this, is Don't Love Your Friends, which I read to you initially named Don't Fuck Your Friends, but you wanted to make it a little more PG-friendly.
Yes. User-friendly.
Yes. Will we get the explicit version of that?
To be honest with you, I just keep getting barred, like my YouTube and everything. I keep having problems because I swear. So I have the explicit version, but I'm not sure if I want to release it because I keep, this is like a weird business talk, but it affects my YouTube channel. I can't explain it. It like bars me from searches and whatnot.
That's,
but it was originally.
Because there's an Aussie comedian that swears like consistently. Like Isaac Butterfield, and he like swears all the time in his videos.
Yeah.
And like Facebook dropped him, unsurprisingly.
See, I got dropped off Facebook too. I was like, damn it, it was my biggest platform. And then I, you know, I just got to be careful because when you're independent, you know, you can't afford to get barred off these big platforms, you know?
That's odd.
But there is a raw YouTube version out, Don't Fuck Your Friends. And they bought it for monetization. Like, it doesn't make money, but it's...
Because I went digging for it, but I can't find it.
Oh, do I say love in it?
I think the one on Facebook is like, don't hurt your with your friends. It's like the... It's clearly...
It's like, don't fuck your friend. No, don't fuck your friend.
I haven't heard that version, sadly, yet. I should have me onto YouTube for that, which is really sad that they do that because...
Pretty sure.
Like... Isaac, like he swears consistently, and yet he gets those thousands of views. So it's either YouTube's got to change.
It's because of advertisers. Yes. It's advertisers. It's not the views. You can get the views, but it bars you from monetization. And this is my full time job.
Yeah,
so
I think that's an issue. That
if I get barred from monetization, they barred me. Exactly.
Which is really, really crazy.
And they barred me. They literally like barred my. My income off YouTube dropped so heavy because of it. It's a bit of a business side of things, but like they will determine what advertisers suit your content. So the second that you swear or whatever, it limits you extremely, and then your value goes down. It can go down like 90%.
That really sucks.
Do you get me?
To be honest, like that shouldn't be the case.
Oh yeah, I'll have a video. I have a video that has made the same amount of views as another video, and just say one made $100, one will make $1. Like, that's big, drastic difference. You know what I mean? Like, it will be, and it will have the same amount of views, same amount of eyes, but it will just be based on, like, whether they've said this is inappropriate or not. So, it basically ends up being like, it just means that my rent, I need to pay my rent. So, I have to kind of, like, behave a little bit.
Which really sucks, to be honest, because that shouldn't have to be the case. Like, you should just be able to. Like be entirely yourself. Was that the same reason that same version didn't go on the Enough album as well?
Yeah.
Because I noticed there's like 100%. Explicit tracks on there, but I noticed then Don't Fuck Your Friends wasn't on there.
Yeah, because I think the worst I say is like shit, but it's like Don't Fuck Your Friends is a whole other level of like Wait, I can't really think about what I swore. Oh, no, no, no. William St. John, I say, I can't fuck with you. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's because I just didn't want too much. I didn't want too much. I know my mum would be like, Joanne! Joanne! Balance. Balance is key.
Because there's this weird contrast. Like, Lily Allen's able to just drop F-bombs and, you know, says a bunch of others, and then it's like, no, you're not allowed to, Joey. It's like, well, where's the yeah. line here? Like,
yeah, I know. My line's a squiggly, like, circle-y puzzle. It's really, like, a maze.
Follow-up question before we wrap up. Is there a Australian tour including Tassie on the cards?
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out what song to really push out there, you know, like put a strategy behind it, because it really is, it's controlled over there. You know, you need to be smart about reboosting. And I've been over here a long time. My biggest traction is over here and now in the UK. So I need a revamp in Australia just to be like, hi guys, it's me. I changed my name and I'm here and I love you all. And I want to do a whole tour, and I definitely want to go to Tassie so bad. My mum loves the place, and I really can't wait to go.
I was talking to the Hots, whose episode's going up today with yours, and they were like, yeah, we don't want to miss out on Tassie because, like I said to them, we've got a population here. For some reason, bands just assume that we're not interested or that we can get to the mainland, but not all of us can afford to throw down a couple hundred on flights or the ferry to Melbourne and then find accommodation. By the time you do that, it pretty much outweighs the ticket cost. And you're like, look, I'd love to support them, but I can't. And it's just,
it's not really feasible.
It'd be awesome to have some Aussie artists come to Tassie.
Yeah. I actually might hit up my agent and be like, find a venue, nothing crazy, and just like do a little promo run even just out there just to make something different, because I'm going in December. I know I've got a show in Melbourne. I've got a show in Sydney. I'm not sure of the dates or the locations, but I know I have a show in each. I might actually just do that. Like,
well, thank you once again for giving up your time to chat with us, Joey. Joey's debut album, Enough, is available now on iTunes and all streaming services. I've been your host, TJ, alongside Joey, and I'll see you all in the next episode.